Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Schrader catches a seam. Cody Schrader is gone. Touchdown, Mizzou. And the sensational season for Schrader continues.
Play clock counting down as Cook tries to adjust protection. They run option to the short side of the field, but it doesn't matter with Schrader. And he keeps his footing down to the 25. A star is born at Mizzou this year, and his name is Cody Schrader. Cook. There you go. Nice pitch and catch to Burden, who breaks free. Luther Burden III, a 1,000-yard receiver this year, did it in this game. Cook going to take it himself, and Cook, that second surge, yes, touchdown Mizzou. Cook, wide open, and Burden again, and fighting for extra yardage as Luther Burden III. Ball's loose, ball is loose, Mizzou's got it. Christian Williams with the fumble recovery. Bad exchange between the backup quarterback and the running back, and Christian Williams gets it.
And the Oregon transfer, Christian Williams, Johnny on the spot, coming up with a massive, massive play. The biggest of the game so far for Missouri.
Play action, Cook. Going to go down to Weiss, and Theo Weiss, he is a speedster who gets free. Down the sideline he goes. M-I-Z.
What a turnaround for M-I-Z.
It'll be a top 10 tumble if he doesn't get it. Fourth down. Gotta have it, and he gets it. Luther Burden III, and not only that, but they're in range to win it. No timeouts for Mizzou.
And they're officially right now in Mevis' field goal range.
Remember, he hit a 61-yarder to beat K-State. Now they're at the 40. That would be a 58-yarder. Cook trying to shorten that distance, and the clock will stop with the completion to Miller with the ball on the 29-yard line, well in range of the sensational Harrison Mevis. The thicker kicker will get the drama ending he wants. 30-yard attempt by Mevis. And Mevis drills it. 33-31. Missouri retakes the lead. Mevis, what a sensational career he's had. And Max Brown needs a whole lot of magic here. And they don't get that initial one completed, and zeros are across the board. And Brady Cook and Schrader and that offense, they got the thicker kicker in position, and the fireworks are going off on senior night. Mizzou has win number 9.
And then a throw. Slam. This bug's for you, Mizzou.
They are carving up this LSU defense.
They don't get no better than that, man.
Now Cook's going to throw the deep ball. And Burton's past the defense. Touchdown, Luther Burton. 47 yards.
Kick is up. It is.
Yes. Oh, a walk-off winner from 61. Harrison Meadus.
This is the Mazzotcast.
Howdy, Tiger fans. Welcome to the Mazzotcast. I'm your host, Brendan Anthony. Joining me, as always, is my longtime brother, Colin Anthony.
What's up, dum-dums?
Well, we are coming to you after the Missouri matchup against the Florida Gators. Senior night, the number 9 in the country, Missouri Tigers, defeated the Gators 33-31. And they made it look as tough as possible.
Yeah, say not for lack of trying to lose.
Yeah.
But it also didn't help that when we scored like 3 touchdowns and it only counted as 1. At one point in the game.
And not even one. We ended up getting a field goal out of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, it does seem like when Missouri struggles, this has not been the first time where we're like, how many times have we had to punch this motherfucker in? I don't know, like how many times like Luther Burton got like downed at the 1, and then when you look at the replay, he was clearly across the fucking, like not in this game, but like Luther Burton has scored touchdowns that haven't counted. When we're struggling, we have to score 3 touchdowns for every 1 touchdown that gets on the scoreboard.
Well, Burton dropped that ricochet pass, which was one of the most athletic, crazy
plays. I wouldn't say he dropped it. That's not fair to Luther Burton.
No, what I mean is like he didn't bring it all the way in, but I mean like it was an incredible, if he would have caught that for a touchdown, play of the fucking year, like insane. Like he did a couple things in this game that made me go, holy shit, you can see why he's 5 stars. You can see why he is like, he caught that one pass from Cook where he's like running down the sideline and Cook put a little too much air underneath it and the fucking safety gets there, rise the ball does, and he bounces off Burden's midsection like a BB and Bird just runs for another 20 yards and it's like, good God, he's just a big physical, like, and he's not a huge guy but just sturdy and faster and stronger than everybody else.
Catches everything, can't be tackled. Yeah, I tweeted out, and I know this is a debatable topic so people were back and forth on it a lot. I'm glad they were, but I said, I'm going to say it right now, Luther Burton may just be the most talented player Missouri's ever had in a uniform. There are a lot of talented players that have come across the Tigers over the years. I mean, I think Jeremy Macklin was a lot of people were mentioning him. God damn, he was good. But Luther Burton, guys like Macklin and Luther Burton, they're just on another level, and you see it every fucking week where it's just like,
yeah,
if the ball's near them, they're going to catch it. And if there's a single one-on-one tackle, they're going to bust out of it. They're going to make plays, and he just did.
I don't know, man, but maybe it's recency bias, but it sounds right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree. I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, what are we supposed to measure him up against? Pitching Paul Chrisman from 1948? I don't know. But yeah. Luther Burton's fucking good now. And and we'll get to the best play he had later. But yeah, the Tigers started out pretty well, but they couldn't close out drives. They were settling for field goals early. The first half, Missouri looked like a better team than Florida. It reminded me of the first half of the Tennessee game where we looked like the better team. We just didn't bust out to a big enough lead. And I was hoping that it was going to go like the Tennessee game, but it did not.
No, and the big difference between this game and the Tennessee game was our defense. Mm. Our defense tackled poorly. We were badly down at linebacker, and it showed because they ran that read option shit. And it had, I mean, our linebackers were like, they didn't understand. They're like, what are they doing now? Is this some sort of magic trick? Like,
yeah, they have no idea who got the ball.
They're going to the sidelines being like, those guys, whatever they're doing, I think it's illegal. I look like their ball's going one way and then goes another. I don't, you should check with the officials.
No, it's like when you throw, it's like when you fake throw a tennis ball to a Labrador.
Yeah, that was our linebackers.
Yeah.
And our defensive line, God, they let a couple of sacks just slip right through their fingers. Like it was just not a very good defensive effort.
Well,
our defensive line wasn't getting home very quick. God, our back end was having to cover for a long time. They were getting roasted. It was just, if our defense pummeled Florida the way they did Tennessee, we would have eventually you know, done the same sort of inevitable crushing. But we just couldn't stop their offense.
Well, and one player, especially on a defense, so rarely is like such a huge difference maker. But the absence of Tyron Hopper, one,
yeah,
you know he wanted to be in this game. Florida is where he transferred from.
Well, again, what we always talk about, what's the most important thing? Recruiting. You know why? Because what's the most important thing? Athletes. You take a guy like Hopper off the field who's going to end up playing on Sundays, you see the difference immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about it to me the day of the game. Like, we can remember those days where we had Jamon Moore, who was our best receiver, you know, and a couple, and Colkin and all these other guys. And it's like, and you felt like Mizzou was just good for like a half dozen drops a game.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got this premier talent in Weiss and Burden and Mookie Cooper and Norfleet, and like everybody catches the ball.
Yeah.
And like drops are rare. And not only does Luther Burden catch the ball, but he catches it in triple coverage, fucking going, falling to the ground after a ball gets tipped. Like, it's insane. And it's just like, oh, it's the Jimmys and Joes, man.
Yeah.
It's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and fucking Joes. Like, you know, this is, I don't know how much Kirby Moore changed his offense. I mean, obviously it's not what it was, but part of it, like, even when I said back then when Drinkwitz was running those stupid screen bubble screens and all that shit constantly, it's like, maybe this is just what we have on the roster right now. Maybe this is just what we are. I chalked it up to Cook being unable to throw the deep ball. And maybe it was just he didn't have anybody to throw it to. I don't know. But our offense is certainly changed.
It's in a way, it's an indictment of Drink's play calling to a greater degree, even though he's, you know, proven himself to be a better coach this year than I'd certainly given him credit for. The fact that his offense was so stagnant before, and now with the weapons he's got in place, they're doing so many things. I mean, it makes imagine a quarterback. I hate to say imagine a different quarterback than Brady Cook, because Brady Cook has maximized what he's had, you know, and look at where we are. This is one of the best seasons that I can remember as a Mizzou fan, you know, like,
well, and Brady,
2007, 2013 forward are the top seasons. You know, we were in the SEC championship game and we've been in Big 12 championship games. We're not going to be in a championship game, but if we beat Arkansas, we're going to be a 10-win season in the regular season. Go to a New Year's Six Bowl. It's right up there with one of the best seasons. So, I mean, you tip your cap to Brady Cook, and you talk about him being limited, but you're like, are you not that fucking limited?
Well, he's a good college quarterback. I mean, I think there's arm strength issues that'll probably keep him from playing at any other level, but he is plenty good at this level, and he's I love the fact that he runs the football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no mystery why Mizzou's doing this. I mean, look at their roster compared to other years. You've got Ennis Rakestraw and Abram Strain on the outside. Carlisle is a fucking stud. Norwood, who's your like third cornerback, is good. Tyron Hopper's literally Sunday talent. Robinson and Walker Jr. are legit D linemen. You know what I mean? Like,
Chad Bailey's out for the year, but he was damn good. And that's we hadn't mentioned him being gone. But
all three levels. Then you go over to the offense. You've got a freshman tight end who's doing great things. You've got a really good offensive line who's really started to gel towards the end of the season. Brady Cook is a legitimate grade A quarterback in college. Luther Burden is, I don't want to hear an argument, he's the best fucking wide receiver in the country. Theo Weiss is probably top five in the fucking conference. Cody Schrader, I mean, fucking Cody Schrader leads the SEC in rushing, and it ain't close. He went on the Pat McAfee show, and I hate Pat McAfee, but I watched Cody Schrader. Of course, he was humble and said all the coach speak stuff. But part of me wants to be like Cody Schrader, just go on there and be like, hey, what's up, SABC? My name's Cody Schrader, but you could call me King fucking Kong because I own your goddamn conference. And I would love for him to give him a little of that because he has been a fucking absolute stud. But like, there's just talent all over the field. And that's what I went on that show with those guys from Florida. And that's basically, I kept telling them, like, listen, this is not the Mizzou team you're accustomed to. I mean, there's talent all over this field right now.
Well, and you're talking about how good Cody Schrader is. Nate Pete got like one or two snaps in this game and fucking maximized it. Like, Nate Pete is the best unused number two rusher. He's our backup, and I'd be perfectly happy with Nate Pete running the football. And I'm thrilled that Cody Schrader has become what he has become. You're right. We've got talent everywhere. And this, it just snuck up on me on how good this team is. I couldn't be more happy. I mean, you know how down I was on everybody. I mean, so many sound bites of me looking like a fucking fool at the beginning of the season. Happy about it. You know, like just an absolute fool. And Colin, I said 8 wins and beat Tennessee. Those are the two things I really wanted Drinkwitz to do to jump on the bandwagon. Well, now we're at 9 wins and we beat Tennessee and we just beat Florida. So like, what more does Drink have to do to win me back? Because he's done everything I ask and more.
The one thing I'll say about this Florida game is I was talking to you. I've talked to you and both you and Caleb, and you kind of having this feeling that like the shoe's going to drop. Like this is the kind of game that Mizzou loses. Mm-hmm. We get our hopes up or whatever.
Yeah, well, we had two high energy games, you know, Georgia and Tennessee. And then we got this game where we're favored by 11. It's a perfect trap game.
It's a trap.
Yeah, I just felt good about this team. And I was like, no, this team's better than what we're used to. Like this is not your daddy's Mizzou team. Like this is different. And I, you know, when I'm talking about players, talent all over the field, let's not forget the thicker kicker. And then on this final drive, Brady Cook answers the bell. And I think you brought it up on Twitter, does something like checks the last box on the like resume for Mount Rushmore Mizzou quarterbacks and leads this game winning drive in the fourth quarter. Like, I was like, well, this makes sense because this is who we are this year. We're not the flea kicker team.
Yes.
You know, Tyus Edney is not going to start playing cornerback for the Florida Gators. Like we're going to do this.
There was a point, the only point that I really, in that last drive that I was really like, well, this is it. We lost this game, was 4th and 17, because it's 4th and 17 and we don't have any timeouts left. There's like 38 seconds left on the clock and Brady Cook's been great, but he's still, you know, he doesn't zip it like Pat Mahomes did, although Pat Mahomes lost in the same situation. And I just was like, the odds are not in our favor. And then, of course, he fucking found his best receiver wide open. I mean, open enough, and got it where he needed to go. But other than that, I thought we were able to move the ball. But it was just the defense was giving it up so bad that I did. It had the hallmarks of a fucking crushing Mizzou defeat. I guarantee you. We get these voicemails. They're all chronological. We're going to hear some Mizzou blues before that last Meavis field goal goes in.
About that throw that he made, that 4th and 17 throw. There were a lot of defenders around. And I don't think that is a throw that Cook even attempts if it's not 4th and 17. You know, and it's not that it was a bad decision. You know, he was open. He just wasn't that open. And yeah. I kind of hope it gives Cook to, you know, push things a little bit more sometimes, because I do feel like he can get a little bit gun shy about kind of letting her rip, and probably because he's had some problems with interceptions of late. Yeah. But I was like, God, Brady, that throw is there throughout the game. It's just a throw you're not comfortable making, but when you're trying to basically manage the game and keep your team in it, you don't want to put the ball at risk. And I get it. And I appreciate it. It's part of what makes you a good quarterback, but man, you just did a 4th and 17 throw. Like, yeah. Luther Burden is a fucking football vacuum. Like, continue to do that. Continue to push that ball down the field, especially in the middle of the field. We put so much emphasis on the outside, but Mizzou never uses college football in general. Just doesn't use the middle of the field enough.
Yeah,
everything's to the outside.
Part of, I think, my trepidation going into that final drive too, Colin, was we know against LSU in somewhat similar situations, Brady Cook puked down his shoes. You know what I mean? Like, he made terrible interceptions and terrible throws, and the lights seemed too bright. He seemed incredibly confident on that final drive and did exactly what was needed. So there's another thing I'd said where he did the one thing that was left on his resume for this season. The only box he hadn't checked yet, which was marching his team down the field for a game winning drive. And he did that. Missouri was the better team and they ended up with the win because of it, because they did what winning teams need to do when they're not playing their best football. And Meavis, by the way, I don't know if you were, I mean, it's hard not to bite your nails when you're a Mizzou fan and you're relying on a last second kick, obviously. But
yeah,
Meavis walked out there. I mean, if you weren't having like flashbacks of South Carolina 2013, you're probably just not old enough.
But from like whatever the 11 yard line with Meavis, yeah. Honestly, and I know he's missed close kicks. I was just like, I just felt like, nope, this team has been forged in the crucible of 4 years of taking it on the fucking chin. Like, all the shit that the ups and down Meavis has gone through is for this kick. And I just had complete confidence in him. I'm like, he's a senior, man. He is just a fucking machine from 50 yards. Like, he's got this. Oh. I don't know. It's hard for me to have felt this confident. I felt confident in going into this game. I even had some optimism with 4th and 17. Like I think I've just become a straight up homer. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I'm just buying. Good. I'm buying it all. Like it's all going to work out great.
Well, you were talking. I was watching the Chiefs tonight, and the Chiefs didn't get it done, and they dropped the pass that they needed to catch. And I was surprised because the Chiefs, over the last 2 or 3 years, have been a team that they just always make that throw and they always get that catch. And Mizzou has sort of become the team that you expect to get it done. And
yeah, the Chiefs got a Jimmy's and Joe's problem.
Yeah, it's true. But Mevis walked out there, and you know, I saw him like talking to his holder. And they were just like, it looked like two guys out there doing business, and they had a vibe. You know what I mean? Like they were out there to get a job done, and they were like ready to do it, and they weren't fucking pressured, and they just fucking kicked it right to the middle. And yeah, it was done and game over, and just pack your bags. Should we talk about how bad the officiating was? Because I know Tennessee has spent the better part of 2 weeks crying about officiating.
I mean, we will never stand on officiating, and you can't tackle as poorly as Mizzou did and blame anybody but yourselves. But having said all of that, the officiating was pretty bad.
Yeah.
When they try to get Johnny Walker Jr. for targeting because that diving sliding
elbow incidentally ran into him.
Nobody hit the fucking guy. Like, what a crock of shit.
Oh, and I saw Florida fans tweeting out that he should be thrown in jail.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. It was...
Yeah. Well, and then there was one play where Luther Burden was just getting molested and there was no flag. God. And what I was really ultimately getting
tackled before the ball got there, which is if newsflash guys, if you're not really, you know, up to it in football, like that's illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah. That's what they call pass interference. And then what I was ultimately getting at, Colin, was the fact that they put 1 second back on the clock because the refs just couldn't handle that Florida was going to get beat in this game, I guess. And then so they threw – so we had to have one more meaningless play and march everybody back out off the field for this ridiculous scenario where they put 1 second back on.
Bryn, I said this since we made the transition to the SEC. The officiating is worse than the Big 12.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like I complained about the Big 12 officiating while we were there, but I can say now having watched a substantial amount of football in two conferences, the SEC is worse.
Yeah, it's fucking bad. But I will say this about bad officiating, and right now I'm really speaking to Tennessee fans more than I am Missouri fans. People don't realize how difficult it is for an official to actually change the outcome of a game. Because when teams lose and the officiating is bad, they bellyache so bad like the officials stole a win from them. Officials can make bad calls. And no doubt officials can make calls that influence how a game goes. But it's really tough for one bad call or even like five bad calls to actually change the outcome of the game. If Missouri lost that game, it wasn't because of bad officiating. It was because of bad defense. Like that.
Yes.
They just let Florida run down their throats. And as many bad calls as we got, it wasn't the officials who were going to lose Missouri that game. It was the defense. But fortunately, none of that had to happen because our offense had huge erect penises.
They were quite erect. It was a great ending. I mean, I was talking to Twink Caleb about it today, and I said, you know, that was intense and that was cool. I prefer the Tennessee-Missouri, you know, like drubbing.
Yeah,
you know, I'll take drubbings all day. Like, sure, that wild finish gets us on the news, and everybody's like, wow, what a final drive. And it's such a crescendo to these guys' career at Mizzou. But fuck that. Just beat everybody by 30. God, it must be nice to be an Alabama fan or a Georgia fan where that's basically what you do week in and week out.
But apparently it's not. You get mad that you didn't win by 40.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, no, I agree. But even what I've noticed about myself is even the Tennessee game, when we're up by a ton of points, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of things that could go wrong yet. You know, there's still eight.
That's the Mizzou Blues.
There's still 8 minutes on the clock. We're only up by 22.
You know how the Mizzou Blue vaccine works, Bryn. They give you a little bit of the Mizzou Blues to stop the Mizzou Blues. And so that's why even when you're up by 20 against Tennessee, there's in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, you can still lose. They can still find a way.
Yeah, you get a little fever for 24 hours before it goes away. But, you know, whether it's us up big against Tennessee or us nearly losing to Florida, I'm going to be biting my nails no matter what until the fucking clock goes to zero. And even then, when we're against Florida, you get to add another second onto the clock. So it's a lot of nail biting. But at the
end,
yeah.
Let's hear those voicemails.
Is it time?
Yeah. I want to hear what other people are. I'm thinking about our Mizzou Blues. I'm thinking about the emotions I had during this game. And I'm so curious about the fans' reaction.
Yeah, I am too. But I do want to just finish this segment off by celebrating the fact that we have 9 wins on the year and we're going up against an Arkansas team that, again, we're in the same situation with Florida. We should beat, but they probably – this is their Super Bowl, as we all know. And sure. Anyway, but we're looking at the 10-win season, and that's fucking amazing. We just never saw that coming. Our best guesses were 8 wins, and we've exceeded it by a ton. So it's – pop the cork time. You know, it's a great year. And on that note, I think we will move along to the voicemail segment after the break. This is the Mazotcast. Hey guys, Mazodcast is now on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you can join our Patreon page and get extra content from the guys, outtakes from the show, and any insider news that we have, we provide it there first. It doesn't cost much and your support helps the show. Join the Mazodcast Patreon and be part of the team. Here are our secrets. And we are back, and it was an up and down game against Florida. Lots of highs, lots of lows, and we want to hear it all from you. So let's open up the Mazodcast mailbag.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
What's up, guys? It's Carolina Jackpot coming at you. Look. It's very apparent from the sideline shots this afternoon that Josh Heupel listens to the Mazodcast, or at least it was fed to him, spoon-fed, baby, as it should be, because he's cleaned up a little bit, shaved himself into a goatee, probably uses those old 10-pack goddamn plastic cheap-ass Gillette. But, hey, anyway, on another note, you guys got to beat the fuck out of Florida tonight. They're a fucking terrible fucking team. They're horrible. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't stop the special teams. They can't tackle. They can't do fucking much of anything. Their coach is a Nimrod and doesn't know what he's fucking doing. That's about all I got to say about that. Oh, yeah, and by the way, my team lost to them because, yeah, coach is much the same. But anyway, M-I-Z-Z-O, man, yeah!
Jackpot segment.
Let's fucking go. Fourth quarter. Missouri's going to lock it down. Let's go Schrader. Let's go Burden. Let's go. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the season we would be called a little. Let's fucking go.
This thing kind of petered out at the end.
Yeah, so talking's hard, Brennan. Talking's hard.
Don't we know it?
You think you're going to call the show and you're going to know just what to say. And it's all going to come out fluid, and then you do it, and it's a big jumbled mess.
That's right. And then you end up speaking a different language and joining a weird church.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. I haven't been this nervous since my last court date. We need to win the fourth quarter, MIC.
Yeah, Colin, this reminds me. We didn't ever talk about the Theo Weiss fucking – screen pass that he ran 77 yards for a touchdown, and I thought, oh, there's the game right there, and then our defense fucking let him back in. But holy shit, what an important touchdown.
Yeah, well, they got that fumble, and they immediately turn it into points. You're like, oh, here's where we take over.
Yeah.
Here's where the floodgates open.
And it's one of those things, it's like, well, I kind of feel bad we took out your starting quarterback, but I'll take the fumbled snap. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I had to step out to pick up my 11-year-old daughter from a birthday party, and Theo Weiss, let's go! Fourth quarter, MIC.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Fuck you, Florida. I hope you fucking drown when climate change happens. You fucking deserve it. God, I hate you.
M-I-Z.
Yeah. Oh, climate change. Get them.
I'm going to go into the kitchen, make up some beautiful butter biscuits and pancakes and smother them in all kinds of delicious syrup. I'm going to deliver them to Harrison Mevis myself, rub them all over that vivacious body, and lick this syrup out of his asshole, you sexy motherfucker.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
He made that analogy very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, it's Matt from Charleston, South Carolina. I'd like you to go back and replay, because I'm the hanger-on that you guys called me after the Middle Tennessee State game when I called in. Yeah, I want you to go back and just replay that on the next show and then come live and just feel free to apologize and just tell me that I was right. You guys were gratefully wrong, and it's been one fucking hell of a season. M-I-Z.
All right, I'll do that. I'll pull that up.
Well, Brittany, I don't know. Should we do that, or should we just cut this completely out? Because, you know, that way nobody has to know we were wrong.
That's true. Yeah, but the great thing is no one's going to listen to old episodes. So we thought Mizzou was going to be good all year long, and we have nothing to apologize about. And we've been Eli Drinkwitz and Brady Cook's biggest boosters from day one.
Yeah, we have no idea what this guy's talking about. He's purely crazy.
Yeah, and if Colin, if I recall, this guy, I think I remember him well, Matt from Charleston, he kept trying to tell us that Brady Cook wasn't very good and he was limited and that Eli Drinkwitz was kind of a stupid coach. And I said, hey, 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 Matt from Charleston, not so fast. Mizzou is a 10-win team in the making.
That's the way I remember it.
Amen, brother.
Fifth down, flea kicker. So many memorable games that Mizzou has lost over our program's history. Finally get one, go our way. 4th and 17. Gonna be something remembered for a long time. Meva showed up, Burden showed up, Cook showed up when we needed them the most. Need to start getting into cigarettes because that took about 5 years off my life. But fuck yeah, big win, M-I-Z, and let's fry some bacon next Friday.
Amen.
That was an ugly win, but I guess I'll take it how we can get it. But man,
hey Keith,
it's always some kind of games that you just feel like we're about to get Mizzou'd. Every time Florida got the ball, it just felt like we're about to just lose. It didn't. It had a weird vibe. It was just off. But I'm glad we won. So yeah, and for the sake of the drop, let's go with Keith. Because that was pretty cool.
All right, thank you, Keith.
Yeah, let's have a little Keith Sweat.
That's right. We'll play Keith Sweat underneath you every time we call.
Yes, let's start doing that, please. He gets a Keith Sweat bed every time we have a voicemail.
There could be worse things.
I am fairly certain now that Florida does not belong in the SEC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kick him out right with Tennessee. And I don't know that Arkansas is going to stay either.
It's going to be a rough year for some teams.
Yeah, it's going to be a smaller SEC. Smaller, leaner. I like it.
RC Natacola here. Jesus Christ, what a game. I have to go through my Twitter feed and delete like about 100 tweets right now, cleaning up some stuff that I said earlier. But the ref tonight, they're not – the ref tonight, they shouldn't even be in charge of the next Florida-Tennessee circle jerk. And I hope every single one of them tonight – spends time shoving dildos up each other's twats. They were terrible.
Anytime somebody says, I hope every one of them, I'm like, oh God, don't say what you might be going to say.
Bring on Sam Pittman and the Razorbacks and those voluptuous titties. 4th and 17, are you kidding me? Did that just happen? My wife's hot take on this game was, why is the host of The Bachelor on this broadcast? I love you so much, honey. Time for the whiskey dick. M-I-Z.
I think the bearing the lead here, that woman married you.
Yeah.
I was the dumb fuck who called 2 weeks ago and said Brady Cook wasn't it while sitting in Sanford Field. And God damn it, am I so happy to be wrong. Brady Cook might be the guy. Look at our schedule next year. Brady Cook might be a playoff quarterback. I'm so fucking excited. M-I-Z.
Colin, I don't know if you've seen this, but a lot of people lamenting the fact that we're going to be a top 10 team this year, the year before the playoffs get expanded to 12 teams.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, I mean, I feel like that's, I'm in Homer mode right now, but I feel like, hey guys, if this is a permanent change of residence, you know, maybe maybe we don't have to wait 20 years for it to happen. You know, maybe, you know, Drinkwitz continues to recruit well. You know, why couldn't, I mean, we're losing a lot this offseason. It would be hard to imagine us having another season like this in a back-to-back year, but hey, who knows?
Yeah, transfer portal's open.
I am not Fart Guy, but I did shit my pants tonight.
This is, if I've got my tally right, Colin, the third caller to tell us at some point that they have shit their pants during a Missouri game.
Well, Burton, I think the demographics show that we have a pretty high lunatic population in our listener base.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people in asylums listen to this show. So I feel like it all makes sense.
IBS, brother.
Hey, boys, just calling in after the game. And all I want to say is fuck Florida. They can suck this Tiger dick. Billy Napier looks like a fucking penis. And the grapes are going to be sour. M-I-Z.
The grapes really aren't that sour, sadly to say. Florida was down. You know what I mean? Like, Florida did not expect to win this game. So you didn't have the Tennessee levels of vitriol.
Yeah, that's the recipe for the best sour grapes is when they think you're not going to beat them and they think you're an afterthought, and then you derail their season. That's when the grapes get sour.
Yeah, these sour grapes are more just like, well, you should have beat us by 30 and you beat us by 1. What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want it to be known that on July 26th of 2023, that Carrington Harrison, that profound AM radio host in Kansas City, said that, quote, Missouri needs to take the cue from Colorado and go back home. That age is like milk on a fucking radiator. M-I-Z.
For those of you who don't know, Carrington Harrison is a douchebag in Kansas City who demands respect for being a third wheel on an AM radio station, and says, it's like sort of, I don't know, you know, says crazy things to get a reaction out of people. Like, that's a whole, it's its own whole like career path. Now, let's just say things that we know probably aren't true, but just are wild and crazy, and we'll get people stirred up for engagement. It's basically called Skip Bayless disease. There's a technical name for it, but sort of like Lou Gehrig's disease. Like, if you suffer from this, where you say insane things you know aren't true just to rile people up, it's called Skip Bayless disease.
Think this
you know plenty of people with it. A1A, Clay Travis. You know, when guys are saying things that you know they don't actually believe just because they're feeding crazy people, that's the Skip Bayless effect. Stephen A. Smith has got it pretty bad. Some people even call it Stephen A. Smith's disease, but it's Skip Bayless disease.
In Europe, I think it's called the Stephen A. Smith disease.
Yeah, it just depends on where you're at.
I wanted to call back and thank Fart Guy for calling me sexy last time. It really means a lot coming from a celebrity like him. You know, I think he just puts the work in and week out. And he's really put the work in for the name that's on the front of the jersey, not the name that's on the back. And I respect the shit out of him for that. I also wanted to shout out Frank for getting caught, say, yelling fuck on national television again. We love that energy from him. You know, anytime a nerd says fuck, it just makes my heart warm. All right, I'm out.
Fart Guy getting more love.
I'm telling you, Brennan, if there was some way we could translate Fart Guy to Twitter, I mean, I think he could be as big as Brett Sarver in no time. I mean, his popularity on this podcast alone has just skyrocketed moment one.
Got fart charisma that a lot of people can only dream of.
Yeah, that's right. Brennan, I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
Good morning, fellas. It is a beautiful Sunday here in God country. I just want to check in. This is JD, and I just want to let you know that I am extremely impressed with the performance last night. Now, we had a little bit of hiccups here and there, but come back and that motherfucker Brady Cook, man. Hell, if I was into men and I was a lot younger, hell, I'd want to fuck the guy. I mean, the dude took the team all the way down. I mean, I'm talking about
who said anything about right fucking him, JD?
Had to have a field goal. And fucking Burton coming through again. Very impressive. Like I said, man, 10-2. Next week, you know, I hope we fucking lay 70 up in Arkansas's ass. I just do. And, I just can't stand them, man. Fuck the Hogs.
this was your team, anyway, JD.
Today's my 18-year wedding anniversary. Congrats. Give me some Wild Rose because me and the wife likes fine wine. We're going to take them. We're going to go to McDonald's and we're going to eat. And then I'm going to come back and hopefully I'm going to get lucky tonight. So that's my plans. I hope you guys have a wonderful afternoon and we'll catch you later.
God bless.
M-I-Z.
Happy anniversary. I do want to say, Colin, I'm currently sucking down some Johnny Walker Blue, courtesy of JD, who generously sent us a fucking really nice package, Johnny Walker Blue, and it is fucking delicious. It's too good for me, better than I deserve. And really, I feel like he's throwing down the gauntlet to the rest of the listeners. Why aren't you sending us liquor?
Yeah, we like free stuff. Jeez, guys. Quit being such cheap pricks.
Yeah, that's the bottle's not going to last forever, and I need more liquor. But yeah, congrats on the anniversary, JD, and I hope you end up having some sex.
Fart guy reporting for duty. Thanks again for that fart love shown by that sexy, tasty caller last week. At first, this game versus Florida left me a bit constipated for words. I mean, they won, and by two, my lucky number. So that was great. But they also looked like they were trying to hold in a pussy fart for the entire game. And then I remembered something that JFK once said. His quote verbatim, this game was one small fart for a man, one giant shart for mankind. And then I smiled. Fart guy. Out.
Yeah, he brings the heat every week. I never heard that Kennedy said anything like that. But
oh, you have it? I thought it was one of the most famous quotes.
It's kind of like something an astronaut said once.
But, no, that was Kennedy. I remember specifically that very quote was like on a poster in my third grade classroom. Yeah, that was. I think. Noel definitely learned that in social studies.
I remember those posters because there was one in one of my classrooms that said, anything's a dildo if you're brave enough, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, that was Lincoln. Definitely. So, yeah. No, I appreciate Fart Guy bringing a little history lesson as well to the
show. Educational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, he's got it, Brennan.
It, whatever it is, he's got it.
Hey, it's Sunday night. It's late, and you guys probably already recorded the show and done with voicemails, and I might just be talking to Colin and Colin's brother.
That's who I am, Colin's brother.
Holy shit, it took me this long to decompress from whatever the fuck that was last night, and it's a thing where I assumed we lost for like 4 hours after the game because I'm so used to those things going down in a way that, you know, Mizzou loses. I'm not used to a 4th and 17 being converted. I'm not used to a team getting kind of punched in the mouth late and recovering. The game ends and we won, and I don't know what to do with my hands. It was wild. This team is special. Cody Schrader's special. Brady Cook has a tough heart and he's also special. Luca Burden is fucking him. I'm so happy.
He is so happy.
I don't know what to do with myself. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling when you've had the Mizzou Blues for so long, but you got to deal with it.
It's like you've been slowly dying of HIV for years, and finally they come up with a cure before it turns into full-blown AIDS.
Sure, it's exactly like that. Oh, on that note.
What is as many like rage-filled early voicemails about officials and things like that as I thought there might be?
I feel the same way. And maybe it's my fault. Maybe I didn't get the – I was so like into the game. I did not send out the phone number.
I think that people are just like less reactionary because they're like – they trust this team more. Like, there's no point in calling in the second quarter because this team will still win it. They're like, there's no point in calling in the third quarter because we don't know how this – you know what I mean? Like it's just I think it belies confidence of the fan base.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, Colin. Well, why don't we move it along to Around the Horn with the SEC?
We break our bread at Waffle House, our teams are pretty good. We even play some basketball when Jesus says we should. So pour a little bourbon and repeat right after me. We built a church for Saturdays and called it SEC. Jesus loves football.
All right, Colin, would you fire up the Paul Finebot for us?
Sweetly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alabama, Nick Saban.
All right, thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thank you, Mizzou Cast Podcast.
So let's get into what happened this week, and I think we can blast through this pretty quick because, as you all will likely remember, most of the SEC took the fucking week off with cupcake nonsense. Like, for instance, Georgia. They took an easy breather by playing Tennessee. yes, the number one Georgia Bulldogs took on number 18 Tennessee and had no trouble with them. Tennessee did score the first touchdown, but after that it was all Georgia. 38-10 was the final, and Georgia's now 11-0 with one more game left on the schedule. Tennessee falls to 7-4.
I saw people on Twitter like starting to question whether Heupel is like the guy, and I'm like, probably not, and he'll be gone in 2 years in all likelihood. But he also has brought you guys a little more success than you've had basically since the entire time we've been in the SEC. So I'm like, I wouldn't jettison him all that quickly.
You should be fired.
The SEC's crazy, man. I mean, they're like, LSU fucking pulls the plug on a guy who won him a national championship. Texas A&M like rips Jimbo Fisher from the fucking head coaching job. Even though they got $70 million to pay out to him. Mississippi fucking State, who is Mississippi fucking State, by the way, fires this guy after 10 games. Like, they didn't even give him a full season. I think that was the most crazy shit of all. Like, Mike Leach dies, this new guy who I don't even know his fucking name gets hired as the head coach, and I'm like, just name him the interim if you don't want him to be your coach. You didn't even give him a single recruiting class, you dumb fucks. Like, that is nutty. The whole conference is nutty. Anyway, let's just plugging along here. Alabama took on Chattanooga 66-10. What a laugher. This I never understand why the SEC puts these games like a week 11. It's just like,
it's just like a bye week. I'm used to this being like the first three games of the season, not one turd planted in the middle of the punch bowl.
Yeah,
in week 12.
All the other Power 5 conferences always give shit to the SEC because they won't put nine conference games on their schedule. And this is the week where it's like, yeah, they make a lot of sense because this is bullshit. Ole Miss took on Louisiana Monroe, won easily 35-3. LSU versus Georgia State, they won 56-14. Really, it's just a battle of the spreads. Mississippi State won 41-20 against Southern Miss. And Texas A&M won 38-10 over Abilene Christian. Arkansas won big 44-20 over Florida International. Now, this is an interesting one, Colin. This is another buy-a-win game where Auburn paid for New Mexico State Lobos to come to town so they could get a free win, but that didn't happen.
You're right about that.
No, the Lobos are good this year.
Well,
and Auburn sucks tits.
They're good enough to whip the shit out of Auburn in Auburn, 31-10. I had seen that Auburn had not lost to a non-Power 5 team since 1991, and they had 84 games against those kinds of teams in the past, won them all before this New Mexico State game. It was a humiliating, embarrassing loss for Hugh Freeze and his Auburn Tigers. It was a disaster.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
True enough.
You know, I root for his failure, and that's Hugh Freeze. He's just a rank hypocrite. And I hate that a guy like him can continually be rewarded.
He looks absolutely miserable, and he certainly looked miserable after this one. They were embarrassed. No other way to put it. Kentucky and South Carolina played as well. This one I was a little upset about. I had Kentucky winning this one. I put a little money on it, and they didn't. They lost 17-14 in an ugly game in South Carolina. For some reason, South Carolina was super, super up for this game. I guess it was, I mean, they're 5-6. I guess it puts them in the trajectory where they could be bowl eligible if they win against Clemson. But like
Clemson,
yeah, there's not much on the line for South Carolina. But I mean, they got the fucking weird Finnish guy who made Sandstorm, that stupid like fucking club remix that South Carolina has embraced like it's important.
Yep.
And they were just like fucking jacked for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And they won by three against a shitty Kentucky team. I mean, South Carolina is weird this year. Man, I gotta admit
that Sandstorm Carolina thing is pretty cool.
Where it's just like, and then the lights flash. The
lights are flashing and the entire fucking stadium's going berserk. Like, I like it. Mizzou's got Mr. Brightside. They need to bring some sort of special energy for Mr. Brightside. Like, shut the lights off or do something crazy. I don't know.
I mean, I guess I get it. But on the other hand, it's just like, okay, so all you really need for this recipe is like a fucking weird Eurotrash guy and somebody at the breaker box flipping switches.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Why isn't everybody doing it?
And then, of course, our final game was the Missouri-Florida matchup. The night game on ESPN, the Tigers, as we know, won a squeaker 33-31, going 9-2 on the year, 5-2 in the SEC, locking up second place in the East for sure. Crazy. Let's move forward to next week when it goes from absolute boring ass cupcake week to rivalry week. Let's start out with the Egg Bowl on Thursday, Thanksgiving. Ole Miss, number 13 Ole Miss, will be taking on Mississippi State in Starkville. Ole Miss is a 10.5-point favorite. Mississippi State's just so fucking bad, but they obviously want to win this game. They're always get up for the Egg Bowl. I fully expect Ole Miss is a team that beats up on bad teams, though. Even though I do feel like this, you never know in the Egg Bowl, it gets fucking weird, but I think Ole Miss will roll.
Yeah, I hope some guy pantomimes a dog taking a whiz in the end zone.
Yeah, I think that sums up what the Egg Bowl can be. All righty, then Kentucky will be facing number 10 Louisville. Kentucky is 6-5, Louisville's 10-1. Louisville is just a 7-point favorite. Fuck, after watching Kentucky stumble, bumble, fuck through South Carolina, you have to think maybe Louisville will kick the living fuck out of Kentucky. I might take that game.
I'm not a buyer on Louisville.
Yeah, but Kentucky has just had a fucking disaster of a second half of this season. Texas A&M will be heading to LSU. I guess that's their rivalry game now. LSU is number 15 in the country, 8-3. Texas A&M is 7-4. LSU is an 11.5-point favorite at home against A&M without a head coach. LSU kind of turned it around a little bit. They didn't look so great early. They got the win against us. And I don't know why I have a disdain for Texas A&M, but I really do. I kind of hope they get beat bad.
Yes, I agree. Part of it is because when we came into the league, everybody's like, yeah, Texas A&M for sure. But Mizzou? I'm like, and we in the Big 12, we basically owned A&M. And I'm like, why do they want the team that's worse than us? I don't understand why they're happy about that team.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Alabama will be taking on Auburn in the Iron Bowl. This will probably be one of the ugliest Iron Bowls you'll ever watch. It's going to be the primetime game on CBS. Alabama is a 14.5-point favorite. I think they're going to just absolutely this is an Auburn team that just got beat by fucking New Mexico State. Give me a break.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tennessee Vandy. Tennessee's a 27-point favorite. Vandy's fucking terrible, but wouldn't it be great to see Vandy win?
I'm literally going to say a prayer for it.
Florida will be taking on Florida State. This is interesting because they're now 5-6 after the loss to Missouri. And if they want to get bowl eligible, the Florida Gators are going to have to beat the number 4 team in the country, Florida State. However, Florida State did lose their starting quarterback. So, but you know, at the same time, so did Florida. Both teams did. I don't know. Florida State's a 6.5-point favorite. I just have to think that the number 4 team in the country, even without their starting QB, can beat a lowly Gator squad this year.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, the game before they played Mizzou, they didn't look bad. They looked competitive against Mizzou. I mean, I think the Gators are better than their record. I think Mizzou didn't play a particularly good game, especially on defense, but I think the Gators are better than their record. They certainly look better than Tennessee did.
Yeah, that's right. Number 1, Georgia will be playing 6-6 unranked Georgia Tech. Georgia is a 24-point favorite. This one should be a laugher in Atlanta. It's a road game for Georgia, but who fucking cares? They're going to win big. And then Clemson will be coming to South Carolina for their rivalry game. Clemson's a 7-point favorite on the road. Clemson's 7-4 this year. South Carolina's 5-6. I think Carolina's really hoping to beat a bad Clemson team this year. It's certainly a year where you can take advantage of Clemson, but I don't think they can do it. They're just too terrible.
You don't think they can beat Clemson, huh?
No, I don't. I don't think South Carolina can beat. I mean, Kentucky's terrible. They barely beat them. South Carolina sucks. I mean, they fucking suck. Their coach sucks. Sorry, Jackpot, but South Carolina this year fucking sucks. And Clemson's not good. No, I don't think Carolina can win this one.
All right. Well, I just know Clemson's really bad. So that,
they are, but I mean, so is South Carolina.
Well, I know, but I just like I don't feel like I've seen South Carolina. I know they're bad, and I've heard that Clemson's bad. But I'd be lying if I said I had watched a moment of Clemson football this year.
I'm going out on a limb and saying Clemson wins. Missouri, number 9 in the country, will be taking on Arkansas in Fayetteville. The Tigers are 7.5-point favorites. Missouri 9-2. Arkansas is 4-7. Interesting component of this game, I think, Colin, is the fact that Sam Pittman was basically the athletic director. So they are keeping Sam Pittman through the end of the season and into next season. Don't talk about replacing Sam Pittman. He's here to stay. Then they're 4-7, so they have no hopes of making a bowl game. The only thing this team has to play for is just their hatred of Missouri and the fact that this isn't a rivalry and they don't want it to be a rivalry. And we beat them every year and embarrass them and they want revenge. So I don't know. Arkansas, I think they can hurt. I mean, they're 4-7, but they do things that can scare a team. And I think Missouri's going to have to play better football than they did against Florida. I think they're not. And I honestly, in a way, I think
winning close to Florida will help this team.
Because I think clobbering the shit out of Tennessee, you can start to like the smell of your own farts a little bit. But Florida giving them a game, a Florida team that shouldn't have been close, giving them quite a game, I think is a good reminder that you can't fucking take anything for granted and you can't fall asleep at the switch.
I think especially when you're 9-2 and obviously Mizzou's looking at that January 1st bowl and it's a big season. I mean, it gives Arkansas something to play for. You know, hey, let's derail Mizzou's season.
Sure.
You know, let's honestly, you know, I mean, I think Arkansas is going to give a better effort to a 9-2 Mizzou team than they would a 5-4 team. Mizzou better come ready because it's not like I think under normal circumstances, if we were 6 and whatever, you know what I mean? We had 6 wins instead of 9. Arkansas may, say, oh, we've given up on the season. We're trash and we know it. But because Mizzou has 9 wins, they're like, hey, something to play for. We haven't had anything to play for in weeks.
Yeah, it is true. I think Missouri is going to be ready for them. And it's a big deal to get the get that 10th win on the season. Get us to New Year's Six Bowl, man. All right, and that will do it for Around the Horn. And this time of year, we always take a little divergence from our usual Kansas news, Colin. I believe it's time for Arkansas news.
Well, I always heard there were 3 kinds of suns.
Arkansas.
Sunshine, sunflowers, sons of bitches.
This is
Arkansas
news.
First story of the day. Man from Arkansas accused of arson, threatening to burn down his grandmother's house.
That'll show her.
Yeah. You may have made mistakes over the years, but have you ever been accused of threatening to burn your grandmother's house down? Colin, have you?
No, and what a ridiculous way to start an article.
That's right. That's what 25-year-old Kane Rowdy White of Winslow, Arkansas is accused of doing. Rowdy White. He goes by Rowdy. He's
Wayne Rowdy White?
Hey. He's like, he was accused of burning his grandma's house down. He goes, what can you do? Rowdy's my middle name.
What are you going to do? So Kane Rowdy White's his kid name, and they're surprised he's going to burn down his grandma's house.
That's right. He is charged with arson.
Like the moment he was born, he was doomed to do meth.
He's charged with arson and first-degree terrorist threatening in Washington County, Arkansas. A 67-year-old woman called deputies saying White, her grandson, threatened to burn the house down in October after she refused to give him a ride. A minor fire later broke out on her porch and was quickly extinguished. White's being held on a $25,000 bond.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. This is Arkansas news, baby. Arkansas man jailed for just over an hour after being arrested for shooting and killing several dogs. A 62-year-old Arkansas man spent less than 2 hours in jail Thursday after he was arrested for shooting several dogs, some of which died, authorities said, sadly. According to...
Oh, God, he didn't get the job done on some of them?
No, he just maimed dogs. According to Cleburne County Sheriff Chris Brown, John Hunt of Greer's Ferry had been charged with 5 counts of animal cruelty stemming from a complaint last Tuesday. The complaint received alleged that several dogs had been shot, some of which died, leaving others injured.
You know what makes me angry about this is, like, he shot several dogs. Did they belong to people? Did he do it at a pound? You know, what were they, his dogs? I mean, the level of ineptitude in the reporting.
And the shooting.
Yeah. You know, the maiming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it leaves a lot of questions unanswered for this dog shooter. Arkansas man arrested, accused of driving through a South Carolina nuclear plant security fences.
Now we're talking.
An Arkansas man accused of breaching security fences in the Oconee nuclear station in South Carolina has been found and arrested, authorities confirmed Friday. According to the Pickens County Sheriff's Office, 66-year-old Doyle Wayne Wisenhunt, so many middle names in these, of Locksburg, Arkansas, was arrested Friday evening. He's also wanted for drugs and weapons charges in Arkansas, the sheriff's office said. Authorities said at approximately 3 p.m., deputies found an abandoned silver 2002 Toyota Camry in the woods that they believed to be involved in the Thursday incident. Police said Wisenhunt allegedly abandoned his vehicle at 9 p.m. Thursday and was found hiding from authorities in an abandoned building in the woods. It's unclear why Wisenhunt went to the nuclear plant. At this point in our investigation, we don't have any evidence that this is any type of domestic terrorist event, Crenshaw said during the press briefing. Like, this is just a weird Arkansas trash bag.
Just a crazy guy. Well, he's lucky he's alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they don't play at those power plants.
No, they've been training for this moment their whole lives. They're kind of eager to use these fancy weapons they've been issued to protect this power plant.
They literally, I mean, they have ARs and shotguns and all this stuff. The one in Mokane here, Missouri, they've got their own, like, professional grade shooting range just so their security guards can go out there and
blow up Toyota Camry.
Sure, sharp at any time.
Take it out on some Toyota Camrys. Yeah.
How did anyone drive anywhere in South Carolina busting through a gate and not get shot? It baffles me.
He allegedly drove his Camry through the exit side of the gate at the nuclear station in Seneca, South Carolina. After the vehicle,
I mean, if you told me he'd crashed the gates of Berkeley, I'd be like, yeah, he's going to survive that.
Sure, yeah. What are they going to do?
This is a power plant in South Carolina.
Not throwing flowers at him like at Berkeley. After the vehicle struck the pop-up barricades that security at the plant activated, the driver backed the vehicle up and proceeded down a dirt road where Duke Energy security blocked the vehicle in, according to deputies. The driver then drove through a fence after attempting to hit the security officers.
Damn.
Deputies said while attempting to exit the facility, he once again attempted to hit a security truck with a guard in it. Wisenhunt then drove into Pickens County and pulled onto a residential property in Jones Mill Road where shots were fired. Officials say that Wisenhunt is facing multiple charges, including trespassing, malicious injury to property, and attempted murder. So great job, Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess in lieu of having a good football team, there are other things to do in that state.
Tenants of Benton, Arkansas mobile home park worry about future after giving 30 days to vacate land. The sun isn't really shining at Sunset Lake Mobile Home in Benton, Arkansas, after a landlord terminated their leases. From continuous issues on the property like a lack of water and now being forced from their homes, we went weeks at a time without water, and we get threatened that the water will be turned off longer if we say anything, said tenant Jennifer Alloway. Close to 100 tenants received a notice that said the landlord was terminating their lease in 30 days. We don't know what we're going to do, said Alloway. It's very expensive to move a trailer. It's expensive. A lot of places aren't even allowing trailers to be put there anymore. The news brought some tears and left others outraged and scrambling to figure out what they will do for shelter. We have to move our home and I have nowhere to put it, said the Pfeiffer family. I'm trying to keep a happy face for my kids, but honestly, I'm worried and anxious inside trying to figure out what I'm going to do. While trying to get answers from management, a guy in the office told us to leave, walked off, and slammed the office door. Then he sped away, something that doesn't come as a surprise to the tenants. He's a slumlord, basically. Yeah, he runs a trailer park. Of course he's a slumlord. That's the definition of a slumlord.
Yeah.
With rumors circulating that the property would be turned into a water park, news stations reached out to city officials in Benton to see their involvement in the sale of the land. The city of Benton has no plans or agreement to build a water park around Sunset Lake, said Mayor Tom Farmer. Furthermore, the city was approached by the landowner about the purchase of the property. We agreed on a price with the owner and told the owner that the city is not in the rental or eviction business, and the city would purchase lots as the lots became available. The landowner said that he would give his tenants plenty of time to find a new location and that he would help them relocate.
Yeah, right.
It sounds great. It sounds like there's definitely going to be a water park where these trailer people live now. And
yeah, I was gonna say, it's you know, like the landlord's basically like, hey, I have a little bit of money. I own, for instance, a trailer park. And I'm guessing you guys can't scrape six nickels together to fight me on this. And if you could scrape six nickels together, you'd buy a pack of menthols with it. So get the fuck out.
That's right. And this water park guaranteed will have brown water that you should not drink. And this has been Arkansas News. All right, Colin. It's been a wild, wild season. And it's culminating on Friday against Arkansas. Before we make our predictions, I guess we should get to our awards segment. Okay, Colin, let's start things off with the TJ Moe
Dude of the Week.
What say you about this week's douche?
Well, Brennan, I think we need to bring back something old. We need to bring it to the forefront of everybody's mind when it comes to douchitude.
Oh, yeah? What are you alluding to here, Colin?
I'm alluding to John Neighbors, Brennan. You know who John Neighbors is?
I don't really, but except for, you know, something that you have tweeted earlier in the week. But no, I don't know who this asshole is.
You'll remember this because he's some D-level talking head for Arkansas, Locked On Hogs or whatever, you know. And he made some comment at the beginning of the year, basically that even though Mizzou basically beats Arkansas all the time, Arkansas is actually better than Missouri. You can play the audio here.
Okay, yeah, Colin, send it to me.
I love how Arkansas people just completely disregard Mizzou.
I know. Because it goes back to the thing where Arkansas is better than them, but they just don't win the game. You know, it's just like, you know, those years that Ole Miss beat Alabama back-to-back years. Was Ole Miss a better team than Alabama? Yeah. No. It just happens, you know, and that's what it feels like right with Missouri. Like, Drinkwitz has not had a winning record. That guy's not had a winning record.
South Carolina just said the same thing yesterday. It's like,
yeah,
like we lose it, but we shouldn't be. We were the better team.
Yes, and like, and you know, so that's where it's like, it's. I'm putting it as if you measure both teams on the field, talent wise, all that. Arkansas is a better team. They should win the game. So that's games.
There you go. Yeah, I mean,
it's such an ignorant, just bald faced ignorance.
Yeah, and the kind of also the arrogance based on fucking nothing.
Yeah, like we haven't peed a drop since 1993 when we joined this conference. Missouri has owned us, but we're definitely better than them.
Yeah, and the comparison to Alabama. You remember when Ole Miss beat Alabama? Nobody thought Ole Miss was actually better. Nobody
Ole Miss jumped up once and they blew moon and beat you. They didn't beat you like a fucking drum for fucking a decade straight.
Yes, and you're nowhere near fucking Alabama. You don't fit in this comparison. It is ridiculous. It's aggravating just to listen. And honestly, it's worse to see his fucking idiotic, punchable face spew these dumb words out of his dumb mouth.
Well, Brennan, I wanted to make him douche of the week. They said that towards the beginning of the season, but I wanted that to be fresh in everybody's mind. So if, you know, the stars align and we crush Arkansas
again,
that everybody can tweet at him and remind him that once again, the worst team won.
Yeah, so he is the preemptive TJ Moe douche of the week. All right, well, let's move forward, Colin. And it was a wild game, one of the craziest games I feel like I can remember in recent memory that Mizzou won against Florida. A lot of people played a big role in this. Who do you think should be named?
Kirk Farmer's hair, player of the game.
Theo Weiss had that huge touchdown for us where he broke one off. But I think it's going to come down to that last drive, Burden or Cook. I mean, who do you want to give more credit to in that circumstance? And I think when you talk about a game-winning drive, I mean, most of that credit goes to your quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Because it wasn't just the 4th and 17. I mean, that is going to be a play and a drive that goes – it's a historic thing. It's one of those things. In 10 years, you're going to look back and be like, 4th and 17. We know what that means. You know what 5th down means on the negative side? We know what 4th and 17 means on the positive side now. It was a huge play. But what people are going to forget – is that he made two more receptions that got us into that gimme kick range.
Rose.
The crazy thing to me, Colin, was when Burden caught that pass and it got down and the clock stopped temporarily for the first down, the guys were like, well, there's already in Mevis's range. Mevis has made a 60-yard kick this year. I'm like, yeah, I guess he's technically in his range, but it's a 57 fucking yarder right now. Can we get a few more fucking yards, you assholes? Yeah, like, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. It's 57-yard kick right now. Shut up. We're kind of in his range. Anyway, Cook made those other passes, and especially the last one that got his guy out of bounds, set everything up perfectly. That was a great drive. It was what Cook needed to do to cement his legacy, and he did it. And Luther Burden's wonderful, and he's won a lot of these, and he deserves it every bit as much as anybody else. But I'm giving the sucker to Cook myself.
Yep. I'm giving it to the Tough Heart.
Yep. Tough Heart, you deserve this. You are the Kirk Former's Hair Player of the Game. All right, Colin, it's the time of the show where we make our ridiculous, terrible picks. Missouri's going down to Arkansas. Missouri is the better team. Arkansas's at home. Arkansas's thirsty. What do you got?
28-16, Mizzou.
16's a weird number, but I'll take it. All right. I think we're going to put points on the board. I think we're going to score 38-24 Tigers.
All right.
I'm excited for it. 10-2 is in the it's well within the realm of possibilities. That's a fantastic season for any Tiger squad. Eli Drinkwitz and company have exceeded expectations. We should all be happy and be celebrating after getting fat on Thanksgiving dinner. We'll be farting it all out Friday while we watch our Tigers play. Here's to them. What a year. MIZ.
ZOU.